Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up America and Face the Dragon, Lawrence Live. I am your co-host, Reverend Victoria. I want to say thank you to Rose Colombo for coming on Monday's show. I hope if you're out there today, Rose, and you do have time to call in today and finish our conversation as to where we were at. So many things going on. We're just trying to educate and share the work and the resources that we have done. Our goal in broadcasting is to be the leading voice of the people for the backlash movement against government control over the nation's freedom and to secure the blessings of liberty that will restore traditional American values that we fought to preserve for the last 238 years. The pivotal tide of politics has occurred. The radical deviation from the Constitution by both political parties eradicates our rights as free citizens, which cannot be tolerated any longer. Therefore, America, we choose to voice our political disdain as long as we still have the right to do so. The authoritarian governmental ideology that is being implemented in America, as the people can now witness for themselves through rules, regulations, and even the law. Rules, regulations, and laws that are coming at us that we are not going to know what has happened. We are not going to recognize our America. At long last, for all utopian dreamers, will put an end to the liberty from governmental control that they sought after for decades. The Obama administration's approach to politics will resonate with the people that have had enough of lies, cheats, and the politically correct cowards in elected office. Lawrence's book will be out soon. Hopefully, we're looking at June in our hands to get it out to you as soon as we can. The name of the book is Wake Up, America, Face the Dragon. We've taken out the and because we have no time for and. Lawrence's forthright writing style and his communication skills, along with mine, will open up the eyes and the ears of those who are afraid to face the dragon of liberalism that is devouring decency, freedom, and individual liberty in America today. Lawrence has endeavored to write and continues to write our country's political truth, using his spirit and his God-given common sense. And he chooses to share that all with us each and every Monday and Wednesday right here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, welcome, America, and good afternoon, honey.
Good afternoon, Reverend.
And how are you?
And good afternoon to all of our listeners.
Yes. I am going to what I chose to do for Victoria's voice today. I thought you would get a real good kick out of.
Okay.
I have been talking about my friend Coley Crocha for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, when I first told you about Coley, you were very much into doing your own book and you really didn't want to hear much, but I wanted to have him on our show, if you can think back a while ago,
mm-hmm.
a little bit over a year ago. Well, Coley is the author and the publisher of Get Money Magazine on Wall Street, and quite an interesting character he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's come out with his second book,
mm-hmm.
and he brought it to me and signed it, wrote to us in the book, which I know that we will be, but he, to Victoria, much prosperity, and all endeavors, always remember, consciousness creates, which is his big saying. The name of the book is Electric Living.
He's very right.
It's the science behind the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's really interesting, because what I was going to share, I just want to share the beginning, because I find it so incredible what he writes.
Mm-hmm.
what he writes, and I think that you're just going to be flabbergasted. In chapter 1, I'm going to just read a little bit much, and then we can talk and go into
it. Why would
it.
I be flabbergasted about somebody who's like-minded?
Well, that's what I'm saying, so like-minded.
I'm probably going to hear the same thing.
Well, without a doubt, but that's what I love it, is that the Hundred Monkey Theory
that's
is happening.
The Hundred Monkey Theory.
This is a guy from Wall Street, New York, that I wound up meeting, and now we have this on this show,
right.
And hopefully in a few weeks I want to have Cooley on himself.
Right. This is proof that morphic resonance,
yes.
That the Hundredth Monkey
yes.
Theory will actually work.
Yes. Well, that's why I wanted to share this.
It's not conjecture.
Right.
What it is like-minded
right.
individuals of the same morphic plane
right.
will get together in their minds. They don't have to talk to anybody. This happens instantaneously.
Right.
And our minds will change humanity.
Okay, so
if you want to be part of it, that's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And
if you don't, that's okay too.
And what he says in the beginning of his book,
and change it for the good, by the way.
And actually, he took a Nobel Prize-winning German physicist,
right.
And the name of his chapter one, Quantum Physics 101.
Yeah, is it Heisenberg?
Consciousness creates.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is Max Planck.
Oh, Planck, of course.
Planck. Okay, so
Planck is one
right, but
the one that I quoted from on how he said that though they write the formulas on the blackboard,
right.
they don't know what the hell they're writing.
Right.
Who understands it? The scientists?
Right.
I mean the poets,
the
musicians,
the
writers.
Right. Well, that's always so exciting is that you have grabbed from this.
Mm-hmm.
But for this is somebody who's on the other side of the United States
right.
that in somehow the Lord found to bring the Hundredth Monkey together, which I find incredible.
Well, when you talk to him, what you have to do is ask him, are you familiar with the Hundredth Monkey Theory?
Well, we'll have to, yeah, but you let me know once you read, then you'll let me know if he knows.
Mm-hmm.
So Quantum Physics 101, consciousness creates.
Mm-hmm. Of course it does.
As a man who has devoted his whole life to the most clear-headed science, to the study of matter. I can tell you as a result of my research about atoms this much. There is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds this minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to your second book.
It's a lot. I go in a
yeah.
lot more depth
right.
to
well,
explain it.
Well, I've always
but do I understand exactly what you're saying?
Right, but that's what I want to laugh at. Now,
right.
Cooley writes in chapter one, in other words, consciousness creates. No, seriously, that's it. Show's over. Those two little words, consciousness creates, are all there is to this book. If you understand, I mean really understand that phrase, then you can stop reading right now. You get where I'm going with this.
And that's why I definitely don't have to read that book.
But did I not know this? You had a good
funny.
Laugh out of that.
Okay,
I thought I would bring a nice chuckle
right.
and some.
That, you caught me by
right.
surprise on that one.
Okay. And then he writes, but if you'd like to know a little bit more, the full significance
well, like
of the phrase, let's talk
right.
a little bit more.
I'd like to read it just to see how similar our explanations are.
Yeah, and he has classical physics versus quantum physics, he does.
Right.
So, but I mean, it just, you know, what is light?
Uh-huh.
Well, hello,
right.
the conversation between the ad and on the job.
Right.
What you see is what you can get, energy, everything. So what I'm saying is I've only brought this, and I am going to love to read Cooley's book because I'd love to have our little other Hundredth Monkey on. I'd
mm-hmm.
like for you to him to meet, and I'd love to have him as our guest.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it very interesting.
Now, this is a Fox contributor?
No.
Oh.
This is Cooley. Remember I told you a long time ago the publisher of Money Magazine in Wall Street, New York, and I wanted to have him on, and
oh,
you
yeah.
just you really weren't feeling it at the time, so
yeah.
I let it go. But Cooley's always, you know, I always see him, so
right.
he's always around, and he stopped, you know, when he stops and he sees me, the book is out, and I'm like, okay, so of course, he wrote to me because he knows about your book. And I wanted to have him on over a year ago, but time and time, he just wasn't right. But now, with his book in our hand and how fun it would be to have him on our show. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to do. After I go through his book, I'm going to get some questions, and I'd like for us to have him on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'll like it. I think, you know, it's just fun. So that's where I was going with that. And I just find it very interesting, you know, so much of what you're sharing. And I have the wonderful pleasure to read Lawrence's writings before they're shared with our audience. And I'm telling you, the second book, every time I read more and more, I love it. I mean, it really...
Second book's going to be an ass-kicker.
Yeah. Well, it really shows a lot about... can I say the name?
Of course.
Okay, it's The Knight to the Dragon. So I get the idea in book one, which is Wake Up America, Face the Dragon. Mm-hmm. You kind of start out such as similar to the beginning of time and how we kind of and find ourselves in a position.
Right.
But I find The Knight to the Dragon, you have learned and grown so much through this process of doing this.
I've evolved during the
course. Sure, and I've watched it. But from seeing it from my point is The Knight to the Dragon. You therefore then bring answers. And not answers where you're telling anybody anything. But you're bringing answers because for those who have ears are going to wake up inside and understand. And again, that 100th monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole purpose that I think. You know, there will be those that will criticize and mock and everything
I'm
but none of that matters.
And matter of fact, even in my cue cards, they're not for me to read here. These are just my notes as I'm writing. But I came to a conclusion the other day while reading. What it is basically a verification of several books. So you can read Talbot's book, and I can say it now because it comes right here.
Sure.
It's called Beyond the Quantum. Michael Talbot is probably one of the most renowned quantum physicists of this era. And the reason I like Talbot so much is because he's a young guy, and he's not stuck in the mindset of old science. And he says it throughout his book, and matter of fact, rather repetitiously, that a lot of science does not agree with what he and like-minded physicists like him are espousing.
Right.
And he points out, like I said before when I called you I was quite elated.
Yes.
He relates to Fred Allen Wolf's book, who was the professor of physics and former professor of physics in San Diego State University, points to a book that I have read so many times that the pages are literally falling out. He points to that book in particular to explain the human mind. And I don't know how Cooley's going to do with mind in his book, but I'd be interested to see.
Well, you love table of contents.
How he puts it.
So what he does is quantum physics 101, consciousness creates. E equals MC2, everything is energy.
You see, he jumped ahead of himself there. Let me just interject. I don't know what his first book is like.
Well, it's a magazine, Money Magazine. It's totally different.
But you remember in Wake Up America, Face the Dragon, what I did was I gave the reader a very, very little dose of science in the form of almost high school science.
Right.
You know, positive and negative energy, and how the Lord made it a perfect illustration by creating from day one in the opening chapter of Scripture by saying he created light, and out of light he created darkness, and out of darkness he created light. Order, disorder, from disorder comes order. Positive, there's the positive and negative.
Right, and he goes...
So what I did was, in the beginning of Wake Up America, Face the Dragon, I showed the reader... in very clear black and white. You can't really, really, really refute it, even if you are an agnostic.
Right.
Because it is there, you know.
Right.
You can't say it doesn't exist, you know, unless you're like Ahmadinejad, who says the Holocaust doesn't exist.
Right.
You know.
Well.
So, so if you and my whole theory was not to rush the reader into understanding the pictures, because it's taken me years to understand it. Okay, sorry.
Now he goes on to chapter 3, the brain, heart, and human consciousness, masters of the universe.
Yeah, doing the same thing.
4, the subconscious mind, the partnership between man and God.
Right.
5, precision of decision, know exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
6, the power of the will, the chief aim of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
7, becoming a money magnet, getting hooked on your passion. 8, action, the first cause of emotion. 9, the genius pyramid, sexed up thinking. 10, the sixth sense, value consciousness. And that's about it. About the author, then. Well, about the author would be real interesting to see what clue is.
The,
All right, so Cooley Coach is the founder and CEO of Wall Street publishing company Get Money Incorporated, publisher of Get Money Magazine, located in the Trump Building in the heart of New York City's financial district. Get Money Magazine has become the premier lifestyle magazine for the young urban entrepreneur, and through Spill Independent has caught the attraction of notables such as Ricky Ross, Russell Simmons, Snoop Dogg, and Steve Forbes. Cooley is an alumnus of Mississippi State University and has earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical Engineering with a minor in Mathematics. Before founding Get Money Incorporated, he worked as an engineer at a major firm such as Bell South Telecommunications, Florida Power and Light, and the Consolidated Edison Company of New York.
Con Ed.
Yes. His in-depth understanding of electrical engineering principles and practical engineering experience formed the basis of ideas expressing in Electric Living guides the reader through the step-by-step mental process of creating their own powerful life. Isn't it very interesting?
Mm-hmm. Now I remember, now you're showing me pictures.
Isn't it interesting, though, that such as Cooley and in electric, you far excel in electricity.
Yeah, well, that's the draw. That is the mind.
Yeah, that's what,
that allows me to understand all of this,
right?
Because electrical engineering is I could fall asleep doing it. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
But some people. But if you don't do it right, look what happens.
Well, look Mark Levin. Mark Levin had me hysterical one time. I was listening to his show, and he was talking about he had an electrician over. And he was like, how in the hell did those guys do this? He was going on. It was hysterical. Because
yes.
He knows absolutely nothing about it. Nothing whatsoever. Matter of fact, he probably doesn't even know that electrons move through wire. You know what I'm saying?
Serious.
So it's interesting to see how we're all made to do different things. You know, not
right.
that I'm any better or worse than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I just am what I am. And in writing the second book, I'm on to this piece now. I might as well. I kind of want to talk about it. And it goes back to what Rupert Sheldrake, the Cambridge biologist, calls the M field. And I did morphic resonance and the 100th monkey very poorly one time. But
did good.
But
I thought so.
No.
You didn't like it, but I did.
Anyhow, I'm doing things off the cuff a little bit more, too, because it's not, I don't know, because I just want to.
Why not? But it's real. It's you, and you know what? And
yeah.
And you can.
Well,
you know what? You have so much, you've learned and come so much that you can actually just sit here now and share that and give it back.
Yeah, you're right.
You know
you're
what I'm
right.
saying? And that's
well,
what I like off
another,
the cuff.
Another,
I like
thing,
that.
Another thing that I thought of is I'd like more to talk to you, where before if I'm doing a monologue,
right.
I have to stay very focused on the monologue,
sure.
and I kind of lose touch with you, you know,
yeah.
and you with me.
And yeah,
I just like the feeling of discussing it more than lecturing, so to speak.
Yeah, well, there'll be time for lecturing.
Yeah,
I
know.
I understand.
That, incidentally, is why the Lord had me sit down and shut up about stressing out over this book. Why isn't it done? How come we'll take it so long? He said, sit down, shut up, and write. You said you're going to be finished with the second book when the first book comes out and you have to go do performances and book signings and stuff like that. You're not going to have the time to finish the book.
Right.
So sit down, shut up, and write. So that's what I've been doing.
Well,
so back to Morphic Resin.
Right.
And this is something that I know you know this material well because you read it.
Yes.
For me.
Yes.
But this is a conclusion that I came up with after reading some of Hobbes' stuff on philosophy and seeing how the philosophical mind works, like with Plato's cave. Did we do Plato's cave last week? Yeah.
I did.
Plato's
cave. On Monday.
Okay.
Monday, not last week.
Right.
Monday's
okay.
Cave. Monday's show, babe.
And some of those minds, it gets you thinking in that same direction. You become like-minded with them.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the philosophical reason why, because Talbert brought up the scientific, the physics community is still very divided between the materialistic or the, well, I'll leave it at that, the materialistic viewpoint of physics and the spiritual. They won't mention spiritual. Talbot will, Wolf will, there's
mm-hmm.
a bunch of them, Bohm will, but it really, the hardest monkey hasn't caught on yet in physics.
Right, yeah.
So I kept perplexing over that. I'm saying, they're looking at the equations on the blackboard. They're seeing the outcome of what some atomic particles represent. What are they not getting?
Mm-hmm.
So Max Planck was absolutely right.
Yeah, totally.
They could draw it. They don't understand it. Bottom line here is the piece that I'm about to conclude, and I call it Good Vibrations in my second book, in The Night to the Dragon. And I use Good Vibrations because it's as anybody knows, or most people listening to music that are our age know, it's a Beach Boys song.
Right.
I'm picking up good vibrations.
And therein
is my point about musicians. Mm-hmm. Now, what they're singing in that song is exactly what modern-day physicists are saying happens in the mind when we link with other minds.
Right.
It's a vibration.
That's it.
Everything travels. Sound and light both travel in waves. Light traveling at 186,000
right.
miles a second, sound traveling at 673 miles an hour.
Right.
Now, the thing that got me was that in researching it, I had an epiphany. I said, wait a minute, because I'm trying to bring out, though the hard science or mechanicalistic science would repudiate it, I'm trying to bring out the spiritual end of it, which these other physicists are bringing out. But I'm trying to do it in a way they're not doing it. And I can see the loopholes. I can see the flaws in the way they're trying to communicate it. And I'm just trying to use little old me to slip in that in that crack. And what they're not getting that I'm sure my readers will is that we are created with choices. Let me back up here. We are created with choices. And those choices, we can either agree with something or disagree with something. It makes no difference, little or no difference, whether you agree or disagree with anything I have to say. I've said it 100 times.
Right.
The difference is within you, within the person themselves. So if you take let's call it believer and non-believer. A believer says that an M field exists, or a field of energy or wave that can instantaneously be transmitted from one person to another. And like I said before, Einstein had a problem with it. You're getting frustrated there. You can't get calls? Is that what it is? It's freezing. I don't know, whatever it is, but it totally distracted me.
Well, sorry, I'm trying to keep our internet up, and it's doing what it wants to do right now and popping up and going crazy on me, but we're here, so
okay.
Whatever it is, let it fix itself. We'll leave it alone.
Okay.
The hundredth monkey.
Is that where I was? Okay.
No, but I'm saying the hundredth monkey, that's the negative force. What would we call evil that bonds together?
Well, it's very clear.
I mean, there has to be a good and a bad, right?
Down to the subatomic particle. Particle either have a positive charge or it will have an anti. There is an anti, and you would think that word was something out of science fiction. There is an anti-particle. That's negative energy.
Without a doubt. There has to be.
Right. And what happens is when the two parts collide, they cancel each other out.
Right.
When they cancel each other out, the moment it happens, two new particles.
Up here, exactly.
So anybody that tells me spirit doesn't exist, they've got to be kidding me. Yeah. Okay, you distracted me again.
I can't help it. Look what it's doing. Hold on.
Do you have a call
Hold
there?
On. Yes. Good afternoon, and welcome to Wake Up America and Face the Dragon, Lawrence Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Lawrence and Victoria.
Hi, Rose.
My
computer's going crazy. I'm getting all of these things popping in my face.
We have a demon in our computer.
Seriously, every time I call in and you invite me on your show, something crazy happens.
Every single time.
Crazy noises, crazy announcements. Totally insane. And I only heard one other conservative guest on a talk show make those same comments, that they were on a conservative talk radio and all these crazy sounds just came all over the air, and people couldn't even understand what they were saying at that point.
Right, well, it was interesting when you called in on Monday. We had that reverberation and it kept echoing. And you know what, to tell you the truth, to throw a wrench into the works, I don't put it past any of them.
Right.
I really don't.
Well, it could even be more. I always tend to lean to the spiritual part of it, and because we know that this earth is constructed of matter and antimatter.
Right.
Call it what you will, you know. So
yeah.
Does antimatter want to disrupt what we are doing? Of course.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I felt those waves and charges of electricity you were talking about and all about communication. And I said, my goodness, I said, this is right where we should be taught. What we should be talking about is the lack of communication around the world and in our especially in our nation today.
You know what, Rose, that's my passion, because I'm really starting to realize that if I change one person's mind, that's I'm happy.
Or if you get somebody to understand
that's
all we really want.
Right,
you know?
That's what I mean. I woke up, and once I woke up, you see things in a different light. You know, so if I can help somebody else do the same, that's what my life goal is.
Don't you find it incredible all that is going on between China, North Korea, South Korea? What this government is doing, or lack of, but nobody's addressing anything.
Nobody's addressing anything. No, they're keeping it all silent. You have to research everything if you want to find out what's going on in the world. And then even go a step beyond that, because you aren't getting the truth. You're getting a bunch of fluff. And, I mean, that's why the last book I wrote, the latest one that just came out, I used it as a means, an adventure story, and as a means to hopefully enlighten and empower people to look at the truth of what's happening to our nation. And not only can these evil agendas actually transform our nation into being unrecognizable, but also end America as we know it for 236 years. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Totally. And what I'm finding is that if you really take a good look and that's what we do. But it is amazing how much time has already been lost and how much of our freedom and how much of our liberties is literally slipping through. If anybody in the future says to me, when did all this happen? You know what, Rose? I'm going to tell them exactly when.
Yes, and you know what's interesting is because, well, I've been on the front lines for, I hate to say it, 25 years.
Go, girl.
But I still feel like I'm 18. Hold on.
Well, you're talking to
I forget, yeah. You know.
That's it. Nobody has to know. We're not telling.
Okay, don't tell anyone.
No.
But the crazy part is, to me, you know, age is in the mind, like the time that's going by so quickly. I don't really think about it like everybody else, you know. Time is nothing, you know. I mean, it's never going to stop, and it seems to be accelerated. So it's very difficult with the acceleration of these evil programs for us to even try to keep up with them when they're destroying our economy and people are trying to survive. Don't you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
And
actually, it's really funny because you bring up the element of time, and in physics, real time doesn't really exist. I won't go into it because it gets very bizarre. But you could see time accelerating in a situation, or seemingly accelerating in a situation like this, because basically it has to. We're heading straight for the end.
Yes, and the sad part about it is, I don't know if you agree with this, but the sad part about it to me is that if enough people awakened and empowered themselves and enlightened themselves with reading books like mine and yours and listening to, conservative, not that I'm saying they shouldn't listen to other stations and liberal, because I'm a person who believes you should listen to everything and then come up with your own decisions.
Sure.
But, if they could empower themselves with more positivity, wouldn't that positivity enter back into the atmosphere? But we're being buried in all these.
Absolutely. Now you got the key, Rosie. That's the key right there.
Yeah, and we're hearing all this bad stuff. You turn on the news, you turn on the internet, you listen to these politicians, everything. Look, we're on the edge of the cliff. We're falling over the cliff. Seniors are going to die.
Our borders, we can't pay for Border Patrol, Napolitano saying that we're at risk and we're going
to fire on Americans.
Lose our borders and
we're going to punish a military and law enforcement who fight for the Constitution. What the heck is that?
Right.
Imagine that, yeah.
And that's
Imagine that. Did you ever think we would be in an age where we would be seeing politicians saying, if you stand up for the Constitution and perform your constitutional sworn oath and uphold the law, we're going to punish you?
Yeah. Right. That's real.
Don't people realize how insane this is?
And that's why I tend to disagree with something you said. It's only me, but I personally, I can't
believe it.
No, I can't listen to the other side talk. And it's because I know exactly what they're going to say, and what they're saying is so wrong and so stupid that I actually can't listen to it.
Right, and then
I agree. I have a hard time.
The American public is believing
it.
That scares me.
That's the scary part right there.
They are.
Is that people are believing it.
Yes.
Well, that's why I listen to it, because I'm trying to figure out what the heck is it that they're believing.
That's what I do.
So
I tell the same thing, Rose. It's like, I have to listen to it because I'm trying to figure out what the hell they're doing.
I can't do it. They're just beyond me.
Yeah.
Well, it is beyond us, but, you know, the fact is there's millions of people who believe that we should kill babies. By the millions around the world, not just here in our country.
Well,
we should take our tax dollars and do that.
And you know what, Rose? If you took a survey And you ask just people generally, any place in the United States, any place you want, stop and ask a group, pick them randomly, and ask them how they feel about Planned Parenthood. And every one of them would tell you it's a fantastic organization that helps young people. First of all, they don't even do mammograms. Their major money comes from abortion, and
right.
That's the truth.
No,
and it's just incredible to me that if you ask this country, they would think they are funded by our government, and that's what we're paying for. They
but
do
funded
not
by our tax
anything.
Dollars against our will.
Exactly.
The
and the money keeps going there. I'm like, why are we paying for this? Why?
To kill babies.
Somebody
why are we paying
what?
To kill babies?
If they want to do that, everybody has the right to do what they want to do as far as I'm concerned. But you know what? Let them go and raise their own money.
Yeah, we go. That's what I say. I go, nobody pays women to give birth.
Right.
They make them pay to give birth.
Right.
But they pay. But talk about discrimination.
Right.
They pay for abortions, but they will not pay for you to give life.
Or even a mammogram. How about just stay and take care of your own life? They don't even do plan. What are you, serious? I mean,
they want to take away our guns, but they kill more babies, more future U.S. natural-born citizens with scissors.
Well, that's the whole idea, though, if you really think about the big game plan. If you have such a melting pot, then no one, such as us Americans, born and raised with the Constitution and the, you know, and everything.
I thought taking somebody's life was murder.
Well, according to
am I under
not if you are not if you are in a not if you are a doctor.
Right.
Yeah,
well, so on his license, on his MD license, is there an exclusion clause for him?
There's an exclusion clause probably because they are calling that legal.
Right.
Because the new buzz is illegal is legal now.
Oh, didn't you see that? They you can't call them illegal aliens anymore. They won't
right.
be, and now they're going to even put a push. And you know what? For undocumented workers. Now, Rose, a couple years ago, Lawrence and I did a show, and it was, I'm like, no. They're not changing the dictionary. What they're doing is, they're not changing the words. What they're doing is changing the meaning of the encyclopedias. Do you remember that?
I had brought up the...
They're changing history.
Exactly.
They're eliminating our history.
Exactly.
The leftists won their battle by using euphemisms. By word substitutes.
Yes, sure.
And they went so far as to say that not only are we going to... abortion is a perfect word. What does abortion mean? It means killing babies.
Right.
But if they say killing babies, everybody be what?
Right,
you know?
But now Planned Parenthood is even
Planned
going
Parenthood.
To Congress and
that.
Asking to kill them after they, if they're botched abortion, to go ahead and just kill them anyway.
Well, did you see, what was I just watching?
Is that evil or what?
It most certainly is. And, you know, the quicker this country really starts realizing that evil does exist. And
well, you know what
we
they
have,
should do, Victoria and Lawrence? They should put a baby in front of every American and saying, would you take a pair of scissors and kill that baby?
Right. Well, do you know what? It's amazing how they can twist it, Rose, to make it all seem as if they're doing the right thing.
Women's rights and for the benefit of women, but it's not for the benefit of women. It is goes back to the Nazi agenda.
Yeah, well, they're still using the same words. Look all throughout history. Do you know that President Obama, with that circle, with that road going through it, and Hitler are the only two heads of state, heads of countries that have their own symbol? I find that absolutely incredible. I find it incredible that we keep going, yeah, we got to go forward, forward, forward. I'm like, have you done your history?
Well, we're on the edge of the cliff. We go forward, they said we're going to fall over.
Yeah. Sweet sequestration, our borders, yeah. And now it's just we're not getting the truth. And somehow, by you keep writing your books and Lawrence and I and even the power of just, you know, calling each other and being on the show and supporting each other, the 100 Monkey Theory, that's our only hope now. Because
our only hope is the truth.
It's the truth. And that, exactly. That is our only hope. And the same thing what they did with this doctor, the neurosurgeon, Ben Carson. I mean, he came out and, like, you know, my hands applauded this man that stood at the prayer breakfast with Obama sitting there. And Obama couldn't do a single thing.
Well,
and
because
this
people need to stand
truth.
Up and speak the truth. And when they're
and
afraid to
it.
Speak the truth, we are done.
Right, and that's what's happened to him, and all of a sudden he's labeled, and, you know, look what they did to Herman Cain as soon as he spoke the truth, and Alan West when he speaks the truth. You know, and that's all these guys are trying to do it, and that's what's going to pull us together.
And with the American
that's
people.
That's really pull us together, because we don't care, I don't care what color skin Herman Cain has or Alan West. What I hear is their message and what they're saying, and these
well, just
are
because,
these
you know,
very
just
brave
because
men
someone's of a,
end
of
up.
A certain ethnicity or a certain race doesn't mean they're not they don't have an intelligent brain to think
right.
that I'm an American and I'm standing up for our constitutional rights, freedoms, liberties, and sovereignty.
Right.
You know,
well,
I mean,
they're doing, but they're getting crucified for it. Look at
they're getting crucified for it because that's the division of, that's the whole purpose of creating division and labeling people. Oh, you're an African American. Well, what difference does it make? Why does the word African have to be before it? You are an American.
Right.
You're American
you know.
African.
Why do we have to get label African. Everybody? Who cares? It's a melting pot.
Right.
I am an American Italian.
Exactly.
I'm not an Italian-American.
Right. I
yeah,
that.
I'm an American first. This is my
country.
Right.
American first.
This
right.
is where
well,
I was born.
That's, well, that's
you know.
What, you know, and that's why I'm really proud of where we're at and having a friend like you. The next generation, Rose, if we don't continue what we're doing.
We did our daughter right.
We did our daughter right. I'm watching. We have our daughter is going to be May 1st. She'll be sweet 16. And I'm telling you. Everybody, I've waited even down to my father telling me, oh, you wait till she's 12, 13, wait till she's a teenager. And I'm like, you know what? If you do your homework when they're little.
Yeah. I want, Rose, not one bit of attitude out of a 16-year-old.
It's
you
crazy.
Know, and there are many, many of them, but unfortunately,
uh-huh.
the only thing we see in the news and the media is you know, all these kids are out on the streets and they're killing people and they're robbing people.
Well, not even that. Here's something, and you just reminded me, Rose. I had a client I did today, young girl, works in Beverly Hills, lives here on the beach, and, you know, trying to grab the American dream, all for her. Great, you go to work, you can live anywhere you want. Now, when I started telling her about Justin Angel, who dances, and Justin Angel and I dance in the same dance company, it was very interesting that the first comment was, well, has she done all, like naming, which I can't do because I don't watch them, sorry, but naming the TV shows where our children are being pushed to go participate in,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I'm like, no, I said, she doesn't even watch those. She wants to dance because of the spirit and the foundation that we've given her in music and that mm-hmm. she has found herself. And she's really not interesting in going on those shows and doing that. She
right.
has a much bigger purpose, and
right.
we understand that. But it was just very interesting to see that limited scope,
mm-hmm.
you know, that if you're dancing on a stage, then there has to be, you know.
Well, what 16-year-old child can listen to opera and really and actually know the words to it?
Is it? I know. Do you hear that, Rose?
I did, in that sense. Yes,
isn't
I did.
Isn't it? And then sometimes, like, I'll look, Justin Angel's always got the iPhone in her ear with her music. And sometimes I just, like, on a spur of a sec, I want to hear what she's listening to because she's not listening out loud. Like, when we were kids, our parents heard everything. She's got it in her earbud. So I got to make sure what's going in and what she's listening to. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Rose? You cannot tell you how many times I have hung my head down. All of a sudden, I'll take the earbud, and you know what she's listening to? the music, the soundtrack from Les Miserables. Or she's listening. It's just incredible to me. Or she's listening to
the music, Oklahoma,
all the music that
I'm like,
you know what? And I hang my head going here. I'm thinking because you know when my father heard our music, we were doing "Give Me a Head with Hair," you know, and all this. But my father, remember my father breaking albums, breaking them.
Well, I shared.
Our parents, you know, they didn't care. I mean, if you had something you weren't supposed to have, it was gone.
It was gone. My father broke many albums. I will never forget my father listening because my father actually, we went to bed as children with hi-fi. My father had a phenomenal appreciation for music, for all kinds of music. And he exposed us to that at a very early age.
Right.
Never, ever forget him coming with us not knowing he was upstairs. I will never forget the smashing of the album. I will never forget it. Give Me a Head with Hair, the album, bam. The other album, bam. I'll never forget it.
Well, just to get under my father's craw, when I was in my 20s by this time, so there's not much he could do about it. And I, Justin Angel was singing it the other day, and she was surprised to know I knew all the words to it. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. I used to do it in front of my father. He used to go crazy.
Right? Just dribble. But it's, you know what, Rose, and you had so much, and I'd like for you to, you know, Fight Back Legal Abuse, your first book, and your story that I read, and your journey, and your children. It is an incredible read as far as what you've gone through, and to have raised your children, and to still do what you're doing. And now your second book is out. I admire you, Rose. From the bottom of my heart,
I
thank you so much for a woman who chose to fight back. And it doesn't take long in your first book to see that could they have kicked you, slapped you, or done anything more to you than what was done. And you have continually been there. And I admire you so much. So give a shout out to both of your books and where our audience can learn more about you.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Fight Back Legal Abuse, How to Protect Yourself from Your Own Attorney. It's information that people can empower themselves.
Who enjoyed, I have to jump in here. Do you know who enjoyed that book the most that you sent me?
No.
My girlfriend, who I've mentioned on the show a few times, was a prosecutor in L.A. Her husband was a judge. And I'll tell you something.
Yeah, good friends.
Pam, they're both retired now, but she so enjoyed your book.
That is so amazing because, you know, the best comments I had was even from a lawyer at Harvard who said, you should teach this class. You should turn this into a class and teach it at colleges.
Totally.
And I thought
our editor said, great
compliment.
Our editor said that they want to market Wake Up America, Face the Dragon to
political science students
in colleges.
Yes, exactly. You know what? There's nothing like firsthand experience and research and documentation that you are passionate about. And
how did you come to put the second book together?
Pardon?
How did you come to put the second book together?
It had to do with what is happening in our country, Obamacare, dinosaurs, rednecks, and radicals. And it is because our Judeo-Christian nation is being destroyed from within, in my opinion, and my analysis, and we are seeing Christianity under attack. We're seeing Jews under attack. We're seeing the Bible mocked, Jesus mocked, cross taken away, Ten Commandments removed. Everything that is kept this country and built this country through a God-fearing or God-loving people for 236 years is being taken away. And America is starting, if we don't stop, the domino may fall and just crumble the entire nation as we've known it for 236 years. So I wanted to give a warning in an adventure story that makes it an enjoyable read for people. about Obamasaurus and how the is a parody, and how the characters of today are either fighting back or attempting to threaten and destroy our nation. But in the end, there's a warning for the American people. And it just came out. It's a new release, and I was so thrilled because I just got my first review from a reader, and it said it was an outstanding read, and she hopes all the liberals read it.
How long did it take your publisher to produce your book, Rose?
The first one, it was, I was like you, frustrated.
Yes.
You hear
That's
it.
Why I'm asking.
No, he's asking you.
But you just got to be patient. It'll happen when it's supposed to happen. And
see?
Then the second one was much easier.
Right,
but
I think the second one will be easier.
Well, of course.
But I think your second one's going to really take off, Rose. I think by putting, Obamacare, Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, correct?
Right.
Okay, I think, yeah, exactly. And it took me a minute because I just put the four words down, and then I went 1, 2, 3, 4 on how, you know, what the name of the book is. But I honestly think that you also are a seer, like Lawrence, and you're able to understand this. And just by having Obamacare first and Dinosaurs, your title alone in its time is going to draw the audience that needs to read what you have written. And I truly believe that. And I look forward to it.
Thank you so much. You know, Lawrence and I, and you know how much effort goes into writing a book. And it even, you know, and especially when you're writing books that are going to help people, empower them, enlighten them,
yep.
open up their minds.
Yep.
And so you have to even be more careful of what you're saying and how you're saying it and presenting it. Every word counts.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why I have basically completely removed the word God from my diction, because the 1960s, they did destroy the image in people's mind of who the divine creator is. So what I've done is I've taken a different slant, Rose. In writing, I now explain who God is in Eastern terms. And the Eastern terms was that he is that he is. And that's what, actually, that's what God himself said. When Moses asked him who he is, he says, I am that I am. You know, so it's very close to what the Eastern mystics said.
And I have
and
chosen
he was,
to
he
the
is,
Father.
He always will be.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I feel so bad. My heart goes out to people who don't believe, because you only get to buy, you only get a free life insurance policy one time, and you get the free will to choose to accept it or not accept it. And once you're gone, it's too late.
I had a very successful person who comes off financially successful, do not get me wrong. And my one question was, how do you fill your spirit? What do you believe in?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you nurture your spirit, your God consciousness, in other words, to me? And it was interesting because there's not a church, there's nothing inside of herself. And her answer was, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very highly educated, financially well-off human being.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart actually broke in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have any spirit inside of you, at least none that you're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was like,
well, there's the key word right there. It's awareness.
Right.
You see, the whole thing happened for me, Rose, when I saw the Twin Towers come down.
Yeah, that was it.
That was when my conscious awareness woke up.
Yep.
You will love this book because I use the Twin Towers as an analogy in the book.
Yeah. I still drink out of my New York coffee mug, which I have right in my hand now, and it still has
the
picture of the the Empire State Building and the Twin Towers, and it says New York.
You know, the weirdest thing happened to me when I was doing my cable TV show back in the 90s, trying to awaken people. A lot of people called it early.
Nobody wanted to listen to you, sister.
They called it a ministry back then, believe it or not. I called it a ministry. Okay, whatever. But anyway, you know what was funny is because I had bought this huge mural. And well, it's not huge, but it's good size. And I forgot all about it, and I used it as a background in a few of the shows, and it was of New York. And then I forgot about it, put it in storage, and I was moving, and I was going to throw it away, and I turned it around, and it was right after the Twin Towers went down. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is the Twin Towers.
Wow.
And so, of course, I kept it, but, I mean, I just felt, you know, and then eventually, just last year, my daughter and I went to New York. She'd been there before. I never had. And I always wanted to experience the Statue of Liberty and the Empire State Building and, of course, now, 9/11, the Ground Zero. And I'll tell you, we sat there, and even today, it will bring tears to my eyes.
Oh, sure.
Totally.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
And to think they wanted to build a building there.
We're not even going to go into what building they wanted to build.
No, just a building. And let me tell you, I can't even imagine how far we've sunk.
Yeah. Well, that's what's really crazy. I saw a picture in the streets. You can't do anything that uses the Father in the streets. And yet in New York, you can see side streets blocked off. For the call
which is
stay.
A health hazard, a fire hazard,
you see
a business hazard. Somebody could be dying.
In the middle of I find it absolutely. Well, this country has to wake up. Hey, listen, Rose, we got a minute left here on the show. I want to thank you so much. Give a shout out where people can get your book.
Okay, Amazon.com, Obamacare, Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. And please leave a comment. Love the comments.
And that's our author, Rose Colombo. Thank you so much for joining us here today on Wake Up America on Face the Dragon, Lawrence Live.
You didn't answer the question about government division. Call back on Monday.
Okay, Lawrence. I'll talk to you then.
Oh, government division. Yes. Stay tuned, America. Straight down the road. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
I am so happy. You know, and it wouldn't be much for us to get to meet up with Rose. She's here in Orange County, you know.
You're kidding me.
No, Rose is in several. Yeah.
We should go have coffee with her.
All right, Rose, you're on. Do you hear that? We should, yes. We should.
Yes, absolutely.
We should. We can do our show from anywhere. We should probably spot and just do it with her and have her live interviewed, huh?
Yeah.
But it would be nice to meet her. And
yes.
We hope one day to meet you, Rose. I'd like to thank you all for joining us here on Wake Up America and Face the Dragon, Lawrence Live. I am your co-host, Reverend Victoria. Please go to www.wakeupamericaandfacethedragon.com. Also, email us at slayer@wakeupamericaandfacethedragon.com. Say good afternoon, LJ.
Good afternoon, LJ.